Dr. Strayhorn, I presume. I'll call you that one time and then it's David.
It's David, yes. John, it is fantastic to be here.
Thank you. Appreciate you joining me.
I'm excited about your podcast.
Thanks so much. Excited to have you. I've been looking forward to this conversation. And we're here in the lovely Bitcoin Park studio where we both spend a lot of time.
Yep.
And as you and I have chatted, David, what I'd love to do is to start with a primer.
Okay.
On trust from a neurologist's perspective. I say that tongue in cheek, but you'll do a better job than me. I will include, of course, your esteemed biography in the show notes. But as someone with a background academically in electrical engineering, as a board certified neurologist who's practicing, and as someone who has spent now the better part of 10 years studying Web of Trust and implementing different approaches, let's begin with, where does trust live in the brain? Where does trust live in the mind?
Well, in true cypherpunk, the spirit of cypherpunk mind is decentralized and it doesn't live in any one place.
Right.
And so first, I guess I'd say the answer to your question is not something that's ever come up, you know, in med school or neurology residency. It's something that I think about a lot in the clinic when I a lot of what I do is getting a history from patients. And so epilepsy is what I focus on. So a lot of the information is just what people tell me. Sometimes the information is accurate. Sometimes it's not, because just of the nature of seizures, you can't remember stuff. And so I spend a lot of time just thinking about how the mind works and how trustworthy is our self-reporting. So clinically, I'm certainly not alone in dealing with that question. But some of what I would say, I've been obsessed probably with for the last decade on the quest of Web of Trust, and how do we obtain trusted information? How do we, to me, freedom technology is about how do we agree on any whatever on a different set of rules,
rough consensus and running code.
How do we generate consensus to solve whatever problem? And there are various different problems I'm sure we'll talk about. But so I a lot of times have my engineering hat on, trying to build tools that solve problems for real people. But then sometimes I'll put on my scientist hat and I'll think, you know what? I think the brain has the exact same problem. We people just in real life face the same problem as we freedom technologists solve, which is how do we arrive at, so just something as simple as language. Who decides to call, you know, this issue? Nobody. There's no one in charge. And I speculate, so I've been, you know, with my engineering hat, I'm like, here are the tools I think that are going to solve, how do we build a platform with no one in charge? I have lots of thoughts on that. And as I'm like building the big picture and the little picture, I'm like, you know what? Maybe the brain does the same strategy. So if you ask where is trust in the brain, there is no place. Like if you ask me which neuron is in charge, there is none. And you know, it's not the pineal gland is not in charge.
Is there a? And I ask that question knowing. As little as I know from a neurological standpoint that it's not simple, but to sort of tease out, if not a place, certainly, then is there an understood process? How do we process trust? How do we derive or arrive at what or who we trust?
Yeah, that I actually don't know. There is definitely no spot. And you know, there probably are people who think about that, who, you know, probably psychologists, psychiatrists.
So there's no clear blueprint to take from your field of medicine and science to apply to Web of Trust as a protocol technology.
There's no clear blueprint that I know of. The analogies that I come up with are things that, I don't know if any
are there primitives? I mean, what
are the primitives of
when
trust?
When you are mapping trust onto a protocol, onto software, onto code.
Yeah.
Are there clear buckets?
Types of trust?
Or primitives that you think about that you need to map?
So when I try to do that, I come to realize that there's no cap on the different categories of trust. the word itself can make conversations about this very difficult, because I might say, I trust you to do something. Or I might say, I trust that something is true. It's a completely different kind.
Contextually
of, the
dependent.
Word is being used in two different, very different ways. Right. And there's kind of even a continuum. I trust that this is true because I trust you to be truthful on that topic.
Right.
I think trust is contextual, as far as what are the different categories, that is something that's not for the developer to decide. We need tools so that your community can tell you, help you to decide what the categories are. It's emergent. Yeah. Now, talking about the brain, you know, how does the brain, I think of the brain as decentralized. If you do a corpus callosotomy, which is sometimes done, you separate the left and the right hemispheres, which is sometimes done for a very severe refractory epilepsy. Then there are patients where this is studied. There is very interesting because they don't communicate with each other. You can put information into the one hemisphere and the other hemisphere doesn't know it. You can say, I want you to draw something, and what you draw with your right hand and what you draw with your left hand are not going to be the same, because probably it's your left hemisphere that understands the words, draw something, but maybe I'll say, copy the image that you see. So you different images, and it's almost like there are two people, and yet patients like this can go to the grocery store. They can not 100% normal, but can function like one person. How is it that you have this brain, that stores information and processes information where there isn't anything in charge, seem like one unit? Mm-hmm. And so as freedom technologists, we want tools so that people, users, we can in some ways act as a unit. Right. We come to agreement in a way that doesn't require a leader, a king.
So it is not so much that you're emulating or need to emulate an emergent sort of feature or function of the brain so much as the technology can be informed, I guess, by some of the limitations. I mean, I think of Dunbar's number. I don't know if there are other factors or features like that that would maybe put boundaries around something like Web of Trust. And actually, let's pause and, if you would, give us a primer on Web of Trust itself.
Web of Trust itself. So the way I think of freedom technology in general, the problem is, how do we arrive at consensus on solving different problems? So Bitcoin, the problem is, how do we arrive at consensus on money? Nostr, how do we arrive at consensus on building platforms? And Web of Trust. So I think the goal of what we're trying to build, I go big picture, nuts and bolts, what are we trying to build, is to build, what I want users to have, that I'm trying to build, is a store of information that you and your community can identify who is the most trustworthy to help you curate what's not only what's in the store of information, but also how it's structured.
And so I can effectively, I can outsource in a managed fashion, who should I trust about what in what context?
Yes. And the context, your Web of Trust, is going to help you manage even what the contexts are. So you have a data store, and then you have your Web of Trust, which I call the grapevine. But these two things, you have one problem that you are now breaking apart into two problems. What is the nature of the store of information? What is the nature of the Web of Trust? How do you build each one of these things? And how do you build them so that they work together? So the design of each one needs to be guided by how does it fit with the other.
And the Web of Trust, certainly I think the name itself is quite helpful. It is the web of interconnectedness to individuals for or on which I have certain levels of trust. Now, the data store, maybe unpack that a bit. Are these the subjects, the topics, the taxonomy.
So I'll give you an example of what I'm building right now. The next iteration of what I'm building, which I'm not sure what I'm going to call it. I think I'm going to call it Brainstorm. Brainstorm is a personal web of trust relay for Nostr.
Okay.
This data store is a StirFry relay, which is one of the arguably the most performant of the open source of the Nostr relays.
And broadly, we can say this is a self-hosted or self-managed component that would otherwise live in Meta's data center, right, but that we have chosen to operate ourselves, so yes, we have more control.
So ideally, this would be a database that, you know, I'd love to see you running Brainstorm on your phone. Mm-hmm. The relay, right, is on your phone, or it's on your laptop. You don't have to. You could outsource the service, but the ability would be, this is a database that you have full control over, everything about it,
right,
where it is, what it does, and, you know, the web of trust algorithms, you have final say. That would be curated by people you trust and people they trust.
Right.
So what is web of trust? I actually like to call it webs of trust. And I think Odell's probably said, I think I've heard him say the same thing, because there are different types of trust.
Right.
There's different ways to calculate trust. There's different purposes, you know, things that we're going to do with the things we calculate, which makes it sound like an intractable problem, but it's not. I don't believe it's intractable.
Yeah, it does feel, as we've talked before, that it could fractal outward infinitely.
And frequently, this is what happens. People think, oh, here's a problem. Web of Trust can solve it.
If all you have is a hammer.
Well, actually, no, we don't have a hammer. That's
still in search of it.
There are just so many, I want to know, what are the most trustworthy eCash mints to use? And, well, I want the people who I follow to tell me who are the most trustworthy eCash mints. So we're going to put that in code. We're going to build it so you can do that. That's an example of a problem you would use.
Or if we zoom out, perhaps, which publication, which website, which news organization should I look to for a particular set of opinions about a particular set of subjects? Which healthcare institution, to something I presume more trivial, which bicycle helmet should I buy?
Right, exactly. There are so many different problems.
With clearly different stakes.
With different stakes. And what often happens is that a group of developers get together and users and like, oh, all right, well, let's make it where you can do a rating, 1 to 5 or 0 to 5. And then when, oh, let's make it just thumbs up, thumbs down. You get to be so many details that people can't agree on all the details, and
consensus,
it falls apart.
Cannot be
it gets too complicated, too fast, and it falls apart. And I've seen this happen over and over and over and over and over again. So how do we deal with the complexity? What I believe that we need to deal with the complexity is your web of trust, and this is what Grapevine is going to do. Grape Rank, that's the algorithm they use, is it's extensible.
Right.
So the web, you're going to have as simple, very simple web, tools that just do weighted averages, basically. It will be extensible, meaning you can create someone who you trust, hopefully, or somebody who knows someone who can create a new algorithm and put that algorithm, your database can have a table of algorithms. And then you can use this new algorithm to calculate a new type of trust score. I can do that myself, but I'm probably, most users are going to be like, I love it for other people to help me to do it. So when question, what's the nature of the database? What's the nature of the web of trust? So just trying to build it, is the database going to be a relational database? I actually think graph database is the way to go, but I don't think there's not one hashing algorithm that will work to implement Nakamoto consensus.
Right.
Maybe what we already have is the best, but could argue.
And is there, in for those perhaps less technical, today everyone's got a documents folder on their laptop.
Yeah.
I've got my iCloud drive on my phone.
It
is a given that I have a personal store of data, in this case documents.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we go forward along the path that I think you envision and you've been working on for a decade plus, we simply have another, just to zoom out, we have another data store, we have another component of technology, laptop, phone, running in the cloud under our control, that manages the subject matter, the data store, the context, and then the ultimately presentation of David, you should presumably look to this person on this subject. You should look to this person on this, or you can just query it, right? And say, I want the best Thai food in DC.
Yeah.
Who should I message?
Right.
And so, we fast forward and if this is successful, then we have this just running. I mean, you know, we could use various, I think, terms. I was, another conversation interview that I had yesterday was with, Marks, who's a co-founder, CEO of Open Secret. We were talking about artificial intelligence and the cyclical nature of, you know, what is old is new again. And in the 90s, intelligent agents now, and now we have agents again, right? And maybe they'll work this time. But my point to all that being, we could probably generalize this to an agent of sorts that is just running in the background somewhere on our behalves, doing the research, strengthening the scores, finding, you know, the experts and those in our web of trust who the system would bubble up suggestions on. But I go through all that to say, let's talk about where we are today in terms of how we approximate trust and the bridge that we have to cross to get to Web of Trust. So what are the current state of affairs that are going to be altered and improved, hopefully, by Web of Trust? So scenarios, perhaps. And again, I raised, you know, shopping for a bike helmet. Finding a physician for a particular problem I need to solve.
So we have lots of different solutions for lots of different types of problems. So what we do is we go to Yelp, or we go to Amazon, and Amazon tells us this is the best product, and you trust that or you don't.
And how many of the reviews are doctored and bots?
Which is, everyone knows, that's a big problem. Amazon spends tons of money trying to get rid of the bot farms.
Firefox has an extension, you know, that they do a third party. They'll normalize the Amazon score. And often it's pretty shocking. You know, a 5-star actually ends up being a C- by way of Mozilla's sort of extension, as an example.
And so we use these tools because they're better than no tool. But we have nothing better. And so what our goal is Freedom Technology Builders is to build the next best thing. So than all of those services. To answer sometimes questions that are just subjective, what's the best coffee shop? But sometimes very important, you know, who's the best doctor in some specialty? What's actually happening in the world? Do you trust ABC News? Do you trust this news organization or that news organization? Those are the only ways, you know, right now we have only basically centralized entities to go through, but we often don't know how are they filtering the information and can we trust them? And
you and I talked earlier there. There's a piece I read this morning. I think I'll find it linked to it. It's the Free Press organization. They referenced a subsegment of Gen Z who went through lockdowns and who have come out the other side trusting nothing effectively. And you know, this is my generalization, but what they referenced, and it was an interesting term, that these individuals who went through formative years in lockdown had only the internet as their companion, would now rather, as they say, magpie and source this information broadly and find ways to reach consensus among their peers as to what is real or true or valuable and have wholly discarded traditional institutions.
And tools that do exactly that are what I want to, what I'm attempting to build. And that we will build. So, you know, I didn't grow up through the lockdowns, but I also don't trust our institutions nearly as much as 5, 10, 15 years ago. So I think they have good reason for that.
Skepticism is well-founded. And so with this as the next major sort of hurdle in how we arrive at who or what we trust about what, what are the major hurdles to get there? What are the difficult to intractable problems that you're knocking your knuckles on now and trying to solve, or others are working to solve? What's in the way of getting there?
So really, for me, it's just a matter of enough time to build it, because I'm not, you know, being a developer was not my career.
Right.
And it's not what I dreamed about. I wasn't 8 years old, you know, and dreaming about building computers or writing assembly code or anything right. like that. So I'm, that's the slowest thing.
Are you, certainly I appreciate that. Are there, we talked about PGP, early yeah. 90s, you know, as perhaps one of the first implementations or approaches to a web of trust. Are the domains, be it the science, the computer science, the algorithms, are they well established? I mean, so, you know, to what degree can you stand on the shoulder of giants, or to what degree must you invent a lot of this from scratch?
I think it's a whole new thing. Like, imagine if you were trying to build Bitcoin, if you were Satoshi, and you asked the same question, you know, what would he say? He would have said, difficulty adjustment. I just thought of that yesterday in the shower.
Now, he did have eCash. He did have
right.
So, you know, definitely, Chomian and eCash, et cetera.
Definitely
and
a number standing. Of
other, you know, there's that timeline showing all the component.
Lots of pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, Bitcoin is one of those, if you have 9 out of 10 pieces of the puzzle, it doesn't work 90% right. of the way.
Still some critical breakthroughs.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's the last piece and then putting it all together. And avoiding the temptation to do add bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the nature of freedom technology, is that in order to, you have to, anybody can walk away from it. You know, if Satoshi had made Bitcoin, the consensus rules, more complex than they were, if he had added more parameters mm-hmm. to make it so that he could add more, or she or whoever, make more features, that would, every additional parameter is one more thing that people can disagree about.
Yeah, or stumble across, stumble.
Just fight over, they, yeah, fight about. Right, I mean, right, one right. parameter, the block size, almost completely, you know, destroyed. We had block size wars right. about that. Every arbitrary parameter that you add is a reason for people to say, well, I would have used a different value for that because of this and that and the other. Mm-hmm. And then your community never forms.
Right.
And the entire endeavor fails. So, and, you know, in that case, I think it was not only getting all the pieces of the puzzle together and figuring out how they fit together, but avoiding the temptation to do anything more and figuring out what that means. And so in Web of Trust, well, I'm trying to learn from that example.
Right.
I want the simplest product that will be a store of information, a Web of Trust, extensible. So that, because if it's extensible, and I want it to make it as simple and bare bones as possible, knowing that if it's extensible, then you can start to add more trust algorithms. Let's say you start out with just a very simple database, a couple of tables, table of users, table of events. Your web of trust is going to be able to hopefully keep out the spam. That's all it does. But it has the ability to make, you know, your web of trust can say, you know what, you need another table of trust algorithms. You need another table of eCash mints, another table of this, that, and the other. And it can become as sophisticated as it needs, as you want it to be. But you have to, this is what I'm trying to, you know, the discipline is to avoid the temptation to add all the bells
right,
and whistles.
Sure.
It's don't add those things that need to be done, because your community has to do them. Because I could say, here's the best way to categorize trust, but then, you know, you put two developers in a room on how to categorize trust, you're going to get 5 different opinions.
Sure.
So your community has to, that's the only way to make it happen.
And is that, I mean, you and I spend a lot of time on using and talking about Nostr. There's a lot of development going on within or on Nostr. I don't necessarily have enough insight into other domains to know if Web of Trust work is developing well or rapidly elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So is it the hotspot? Is Nostr the hotspot for Web of Trust?
Nostr is definitely the hotspot for Web of Trust. So before I discovered Nostra, I was working on IPFS, a different technology base. And but I, when I, there, people are definitely excited about Nostra and optimistic about it and building tools that are actually working.
And what's your take on why?
Why Nostra?
Why Nostra? Why are people excited? Why?
So that? I think that the reason that Nostra is the place to be is because Fiat Joff made Nostra as simple as possible. Exactly what I was just talking about. Bitcoin was, it was complex enough to do the thing and no more complicated. And then all the complication is on layer two, layer three, layer four. Right. This is what Fiat Joff did. Nostra is as simple, bare bones as it can possibly be to implement the vision. And then the complexity is added on top of those. So I think this is why Nostra is working. And this, I mean, this is why I'm so excited about it. And
is there a clear sense in your mind of why it lends itself to solving the Web of Trust problem?
Well, you know, because it's not a cathedral, it might maybe just what I'm. I was just trying to say.
The Cathedral and the Bazaar.
I don't know if that's a
it's I'm suddenly drawing a blank on the author, but it presents the two approaches to build the cathedral versus an open bazaar.
Yeah.
And Nostra is the bazaar for sure.
Right. And, you know, Blue Sky would be the cathedral.
Right.
So the fact that Nostra is the bazaar, it's as simple as possible. It allows people to experiment.
Right.
And people are experimenting with so many different
things. The portability of the social graph.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You have all these different apps with all these different purposes, but imagine if you could port your identity and your social graph between Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Nostra can do that.
Right.
And different people can, so that lends itself to Web of Trust because of the portability.
Right.
So yeah.
And so and again, for those who may be coming up to speed or new, the social graph is a crux or key to a functioning Web of Trust?
Yeah. So the social graph for Nostra is usually people think of follows. Mm-hmm. You know, I follow you and you follow, you know, I follow 500 people, you follow 500, whatever, 1,000 people. And the people who have implemented Web of Trust are doing, basically that's the raw data.
Right.
Follows.
Those are the strongest signals we have, or they have determined that we have?
Those are, I think that we are accustomed to using follows data. That's what legacy social media uses. And it's, you know, the data is available and it means something. You know, if I follow you, I've got skin in the game.
I've explicitly followed you.
It's not an empty gesture. I'm actually going to see your content on my feed. So skin in the game, it means something. And this is a conversation that I see happening in Nostra. I've seen nowhere else, is what should be the best raw data to use to calculate how much you trust somebody in a context, certainly in a given context. The obvious critique of using follows as a trust indicator is that I might follow you, doesn't mean I trust you. You know, I might want to see your content, but I'm not going to trust your advice, financial advice, or this or that or the other. And it certainly doesn't lend itself to contextual trust. You know, I can't say I followed you for this reason. And so many people in Nostra, we've had conversations, follow doesn't mean I trust you. Mm-hmm. So where do we go next?
Means I'm interested in what you have to say.
I'm interested in what you have to say, but if I want, you know, trust needs to be context. I want to say I trust you for this context.
Yeah, because that I follow you because you post great memes
doesn't mean I
hear your opinions about, you know,
I want to know
current events.
Who are the best people to tell me about the overlap of Bitcoin and monetary policy. I want my Web of Trust to tell me that Lynn Alden is the best, even if I don't already know.
Right.
She's 2, 3, 4, 5 hops away from me. This is a topic I want to know about. It's a needle in a haystack. Can you give me this needle in this haystack? And how do we do? Follows doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So a year ago, I would have said what we need are explicit trust attestations where I can just say, I trust, you know, Lynn, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm very confident in this because I've, you know, read a lot of stuff, or maybe I'm not confident because this is based on one tweet that she did.
Sure.
But, you know, 99 of 100, this is why I trust her in this context. And a lot of people will say we need explicit contextual trust attestations. That's better than follows because you don't really know what that means. And the obvious objection to that is that it would make for an awful user experience.
Yeah, we're all lazy.
We're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you know, anyone who's good at product is just going to tell you no one's going to do it.
Bad UX.
It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
For whatever
reason. How do we thread that needle?
So I believe that what we need to do is use all of the data that is available to us. It follows. Mm-hmm.
What other signals are there that you see are useful?
So just as an example, in the personal Web of Trust relay that I'm building right now, it calculates a whitelist and a blacklist. And so that's based off of follows, but it's also based on mutes and reports.
Right.
And that's to do a little better job of keeping the high quality content, but getting rid of the spam and the bots.
Right.
So follows, and then reports and mutes. But there's lots of other signals. What if you don't like follows? What if you'd rather do zaps or replies?
Right.
Or
but some sort of engagement metric.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Maybe something I've never thought of as a developer. And so the solution, this thought process is what led me to design how the Grapevine's going to work. One of the most important steps in the Grapevine is something called interpretation. And so imagine if someone you trust writes a script that will take whatever piece of data you think is useful, replies or zaps or something, and that takes the data and puts it into a format that is ready to be utilized by the Grape Rank calculation engine, then you can calculate a new kind of trust score using whatever data is possible. And so, or whatever data exists, right, whatever data you want.
And by the way, David, how it might make sense to take a moment and talk about Grape Rank's or PageRank, Google's PageRank's influence on GrapeRank. So give us a brief understanding of PageRank that many of us have, in effect, trusted for our web searches for 15 plus years now.
Yeah.
How does it work at a high level, and how has that now influenced your idea for GrapeRank?
So I think that's a great question because Nostra developers probably should have a greater appreciation for PageRank. It changed the world. In 1998, it launched Google. Mm-hmm. Google is a $1 trillion company because of this algorithm, which is a very simple algorithm, but got rid of the spam. I mean,
what percentage of the population could explain it? I can't.
I couldn't have until I started really thinking about this. All I knew, I remember 1998 when keyword search, if you did a search for whatever keyword, 9 out of 10 results are just junk.
Sure.
Then PageRank comes and 9 out of 10 are what you're looking for. It was magic. Right. All I knew is this was magic. Right. It got rid of the spam.
It got the job done. The outcomes were great.
Despite the fact that it's pretty simple. So the basic idea is, so instead of follows, it's calculating a score for every URL and it's based on a hyperlink. If my website links to your website, it is an indication you're probably not spam.
Right.
And so it's not a trust score, it's an important score.
Right. It is not explicit, it's not an endorsement, but it is.
It's just a thing that's useful. Right. It's a signal. And so if I link to your website, then it boosts your score. And if my score is higher, then it has a bigger boost of your score.
Right.
That's it. And so that's pretty simple. But it was ridiculously good at getting rid of spam. Not contextual, but it didn't have to be.
So job one is deflect the barbarians at the gate.
Right.
Hold back the spam, hold back the junk. And we could, I'm sure, have an interesting conversation about where we are today in that regard. And, I use Kaji as a result of no longer wanting to see all the paid ads and the sponsored links, et cetera. But as you say, in the beginning, it was novel and it was incredibly effective.
Incredibly effective. Yes. And what we are finding in Nostra is just using follows is incredibly effective at getting rid of the spam.
And so the bridge from PageRank to PageRank to GrapeRank.
So the problem that, so I name it kind of in reference to PageRank. PageRank just calculates one number, not contextual. Mm-hmm. GrapeRank is designed to be contextual and to be able to use data from any source. That's the main difference. Well, I guess,
rather than just an inbound link to ascribe a certain PageRank score, you have the potential for multiple signals.
You can use
signals.
Follows, right. Or you can use, like I've already built, you can use reports and mutes, or you could use zaps. You could use whatever. You could interpret any piece of information that you see and that you want, that you trust, that you want, think is going to be useful, and create a different score for a different category.
And does this look like, I mean, if we lay out a bit of an ecosystem or layers from GrapeRank as an algorithm, as a machine, to the end user who will probably never care deeply to understand all this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Are there obvious layers? So we've got an engine, GrapeRank. We have it affects a web of trust. Mm-hmm. We have plugins. Mm-hmm. We have providers. I mean, in any sense, I know we're a little early, but how does it stratify in your view, or how rather do we get from this web of trust engine, my words, not yours, to an end user who finds these delightful moments when they pick up their phone? You know, Apple Intelligence doesn't look like it's going to be it, at least not for a while. And I've got recommendations on that great Thai restaurant. I've got recommendations on that specialist. I've got recommendations on that bicycle helmet that I'm looking for.
So my product roadmap, I've been in basically an R&D mode for a long time, but my next iteration, I think, is going to be something that's actually useful for actual users. And it's going to, all it's going to do at first is personal web of trust relay. And so you will be able to get it running and you'll be able to connect to your relay. You can tell your friends, here's a relay. It does a good job of getting your spam.
Right.
And it has, it processes, follows, mutes, and reports. So,
and it does the job. I mean, I love the jobs to be done approach, and the job I'll hire this to do,
get rid of spam.
Is to get rid of spam.
That's it. Yeah. For starters.
Right.
You're gonna get it running, click a button, and that's it. It'll work. So then what I want to showcase is the ability of the Grapevine and GrapeRank to curate specific lists. Hmm. So let's say you want a list of different Nostr applications. You want to know what's the best, you know, or just what are my options?
Yeah.
Well, what are the different e-commerce apps? I don't know.
Right.
What are they? So there's an app called NIP89, which generates data that can be useful for that purpose. And it's not perfect, but the whole point of the Grapevine is it doesn't have to be perfect. So one of my iterations is probably going to use NIP89 data, which exists, and you're going to be able to go to a page and you're going to be able to say, here's a list of apps curated by your Grapevine. And it will be a list. There are lots of people who have different, you can go to different websites and find, here's a list of all the different Nostr apps, but someone's always in charge.
Yeah. And it's a grab bag. And
it's a grab bag. And maybe this one is great, but what if this person gets bored and stops maintaining it?
Right.
I may call it Brainstorm, is going to do is it's going to be a list that is maintained not by one person, mm-hmm. but by your entire network.
Right.
And maybe this person does a great job today. Maybe these three people contribute to it tomorrow. There's going to be no point of failure. This will be a list that is very contextual and curated by your community. Mm-hmm.
There's something I want surfaced to me. At least that's the way I think of it.
It's something that you
I would
want.
Love the ability to, what's my next read? You know, I can go to Goodreads, I can ask on Nostr or whatever social media, but, you know, I would love the ability to have among my friends, followers, web of trust, mm-hmm. that next book that I should read in a given category, fiction, nonfiction, whatever it is. I mean,
yeah.
Is that a suitable application for this?
So as long as there's data out there that has signal.
Right.
That's it. If there is data that has signal.
And how structured or unstructured? I mean, I think about...
It doesn't matter the structure.
Okay.
If you can...
So the fact that somebody posted about a great read, presumably that can get ingested, that can inform somehow this...
So if somebody could write an algorithm that will ingest the data and know what it means, then so someone would have to write a script, but you don't have to be the developer yourself. Just someone.
Yeah, there's a marketplace of plugins, extensions. Right. Call them what we will,
and it will be something that interprets data that spits out effectively ratings, interpreted ratings of books, and then. Once you have that, the great rank engine takes care of the rest. And now you've got ratings that is decentralized, that is curated by your web of trust.
I've got my own personal tomatometer.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you don't have to wonder, did the people who run this website take a lot of money in order to promote this product?
Right.
Because if someone gets into your community who's doing that, then eventually what's going to happen is that you're going to route around all the bad apples, and the problems will be fixed before you even know about them. And I'll tell you one product I really want to see built in the not too distant future is Wikipedia. Mm. Nostropedia.
Yes.
And there are, we have in Nostr, we have decentralized wikis. Question is, how do you know which authors to trust in which context?
And the problem that solves... Tell me a bit more about Wikipedia.
So the problem with Wikipedia is that there are many people who feel that it is politically biased on certain topics. Mm-hmm. I think it's great on many topics, but it is ultimately centralized.
The history of the baleen whale.
Yeah.
I can probably feel good about that. My son is very into. Is it baleen? Is the French word for whale? I forget. I'm embarrassing myself. But the point is, there are certain subject matters that you wonder.
Even
can America,
I trust?
We can't politicize, and there's probably little question as to whether somebody's camped out on that page,
exactly,
and making edits versus those things which are
right. So we want something that cannot be taken over by any centralized entity.
Right.
And so maybe all of it is very trustworthy, but do you know that? Mm-hmm. Can you feel confident in it? So I would like to see an alternative to Wikipedia, which I believe is going to be built on Nostr, and where you can see, five people wrote an article on this topic, and my community trusts this person, and you can dig in and see why. Like, how is his number calculated? Do I trust the metric? Or maybe you don't want to dig into the details. You'll just know that it was, I trust the people who trust people, or I chose the people who choose the people who chose the authors of this topic right here. They chose different authors for that topic. Right. Maybe, and so all there has to be is signal. So maybe the signal is that people who have a high trust score in your network, they gave thumbs up to these three articles written by this author in the category that the author might say, here's an article I wrote, here's the category. Lots of people you trust gave it thumbs up. Here's another author in the same category and people you trust said thumbs down. So a score gets generated from this data. You don't have to know exactly how it's done, but you just know that.
But it's auditable if I care to.
If you care to, it's auditable, and you're not wondering, did this particular large entity influence it for reasons that I may not know what they are.
Now, on the one hand, I see that, and I think in my mind, I'm thinking almost like a diff, a Git diff. I'm going to see a Wikipedia page reflect my web of trust. I'm going to see edits that are closest to or most enforced by my web of trust.
Yeah.
And that to me is interesting. Now, on the flip side, I think, does this just feed the already fractured nature of what is fact, what is truth? We all get to see our own little version of it.
Yeah.
So
it's a fantastic question, which comes up a lot. And I think about it a lot. Are we going to make better echo chambers?
Right.
Or, more powerful, more echoey echo chambers. And I don't want that to happen. And so I do think about this. And I think that if you want to build a better echo chamber, you will be able to.
Sure.
I cannot stop you from doing that. So my answer to that would be, we already have echo chambers. If you want an echo chamber, we've got them. Mm-hmm. My tools, you don't need them.
Right.
Web of Trust, you don't need those. But what if you want to get away from the echo chambers? I don't want to know the political answer to this question. I want to know the actual truth.
Right.
So
as measured by
five
neuroscientists in my Web of Trust who have, at the very least, the background, the credentials.
Yeah.
I can sort of maybe flip that switch and show me the most normalized, factually
sound. Here's a question I have, and I want to know the answers by people who are board certified in this.
Right.
And I want it to be not filtered by any large news organization,
right.
Not filtered by a social media company,
right,
whose motives I may or may not know.
Advertorials and all these other things. Yeah. So say what you will about credentialism as some.
Right. Maybe you trust that. Maybe you don't.
Right.
That's part of the thing that you have control over the algorithm that you don't have. So.
At no point, and I think it's certainly a firmly held belief that I hold, is that if you want to engage in the digital equivalent of locking yourself away in your basement, not my job to stop you.
I can't.
Right.
Yeah. But our job is to give you tools to walk out.
Right.
Is to leave, to exit this jail cell.
Yeah. Yeah.
That don't really exist right now.
What would stop someone at Meta from having an epiphany and deciding to do this? What is inherent to the incumbent social media companies? I think most relevantly, maybe you'll have a different opinion on that. What's in the way of them embracing Web of Trust?
I think that if they wanted to find this solution, they would have found it. But it is not in their financial interests to implement things this way. They ultimately make money by monetizing data.
Sure.
And so they want to gather that data and then control it and monetize it.
And some would argue they also monetize outrage.
Exactly. This is one of the things that's very pathological. The more your eyes are glued to the screen, then the more money they make, because they have more users who are on there for more time, they can get more advertising dollars.
Right.
And so their AI algorithms, it's not that they're trying to generate outrage. I don't think they have to be doing that, but AI just discovers, hey, if I show you this thing that outrages you, you stay on longer. I'm going to do more of it.
Correlation is not causation and vice versa, but
AI isn't trying.
Right.
It just does what works, and what works is we want to make more money. And so, they don't really have an incentive to fix this problem. What I want to see is a world where your data is not monetized by these large entities. You have the option of giving it away if you want, or you monetize it yourself. Mm-hmm. So for example, let's say you are an excellent movie reviewer, and my Web of Trust says you're 2, 3, 4 hops away from me, but everyone recognizes, you're Roger Ebert. And I might be willing to pay you some Satoshis.
Right.
And so you monetize the value that you create.
Yeah.
It's not Twitter that's monetizing it. So these tools have the ability to do that, but why would they build them?
Yeah.
This is why we have to build these tools, and they can be done, I know.
And does that present to those incumbents? I mean, it's why the numbers on Nostr are relatively small, and I will continue to use it as an example throughout these discussions. But I think it is the counterexample to these centralized social media giants. Do they need to break in order for Web of Trust to succeed? I mean, what's your take on
the path to success? I don't think they have to break. And I don't think that they're going to see Nostr as a threat.
No.
Just like the you know, Federal Reserve didn't see Bitcoin as a threat, still doesn't. You know, we all thought it would, but that was probably very naive.
Right.
And there's, no, those don't have to break. All we have to do is build options, build alternatives that don't exist in mm-hmm. people, and that allow you to do things that you cannot do anywhere else.
And that's a great point. I was just going to ask, I mean, what do you think are the intrinsic motivations or the incentives that not billions, but some significant number of individuals need to have mm-hmm. to embrace something like this? Assuming we get over the UX hurdles, assuming it becomes consumer friendly, mm-hmm. you know, assuming in my mind, at least, that there's an agent, I'll just use that term very loosely, that employs this web of trust engine to get jobs done for users. What do my motivations need to be in order to take a risk, take a leap and try this? What mm-hmm. gets me interested as a,
I think the same reasons that people use, you know, Facebook for the first time, their friends use it and they tell them, hey, I'm using this new platform and I love it because it does this thing that no one else does, or it does it better than anyone right. else. I think ultimately it's going to, Web of Trust on top of Nostr is going to just simply do a better job at finding the content you want. And people are going to say that it does that. They're not going to be ideological.
Right.
We will never, Nostr's not going to win because people are purple-pilled.
Right.
Just like Bitcoin's not going to win because people are ideologically love it.
Yeah.
People, Bitcoin is going to win because people ideologically hate it, but use it anyway.
Right.
Because
it's a superior
works.
Store of value. It's better payments. It's whatever.
Yeah. They're going to be like, I'm not using it, but I'm.
Yeah. You know, but I'll use it over watching my USD melt away.
Or yeah, they'll just, even not that. They're just going to be like, well, because the person down the street takes it. Or
network effects.
Or what's that?
Network effects.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess that cuts both ways, right? I mean, so, you know, we hear many critics who might otherwise be, I think, prone toward Nostr, as an example, mm-hmm. dismiss it.
Yeah.
Because X Twitter has that tremendous network effect.
Well,
do we have to clear that hurdle?
Well, I mean, that is a hurdle, but we clear it when we can offer things that no one else can offer.
Right. Right.
That's it. And that will.
Do you have and this is perhaps a tricky question, but do you have an image in your mind, David, of what that moment looks like mm-hmm. when someone says, aha, I'll step away from X, I'll step away from Facebook, or rather, you know, not either or, but mm-hmm. I'll spend some of my time mm-hmm. Using product X, product mm-hmm. whatever, that employs Web of Trust. Like, what does that magic moment look like, do you think?
I don't know. It might look very different for lots of different people. Just like, why do people use Bitcoin? There's no one answer to
right,
that.
Right.
It's going to be lots of different reasons for lots of different people.
Yeah. And so for those who are building products, who are engineers, who are heads of product, founders, what's in it for them? Why would either, maybe it is a media product, maybe it's a social media product, maybe it is a networked application. There's some social element, presumably. There's a network effect at play. Mm-hmm. Why should they consider this? Why should they put some engineering effort
into Nostr?
Into Web of Trust.
Into Web of Trust.
Presumably Web of Nostr as maybe a path to adopt Web of Trust, but mm-hmm. why should they be experimenting with Web of Trust?
That's a challenging question. I mean, ultimately, you cannot say I have a hammer. What can I do with it?
Right.
You have to say I have a problem.
Sure.
And how do I solve it? And so, you know, what is the problem that other companies have? What are the problems that exist that?
Yeah. What's deeply broken that you think is
and so
that they should be looking at?
There's going to be lots of examples. So one example is that companies have data. Now, we've talked about how the fact that companies monetize your data, but also data can be toxic. Mm-hmm. It can be hacked.
Yep.
There are a lot of companies who would love to not have to hold your data.
I would love to not get one of those emails every week offering me free credit monitoring
right.
in return for having linked my personal health information, you know, whatever it is.
So if you would like to somehow not have to to keep track of all your customers' data. I think we're going to end up offering solutions to that problem.
So the personal data store, which some would call it, I've worked in that field previously where, if I hear you correctly, Web of Trust can operate on a personal data store, which is that I am holding those data, not company ABC.
Yeah, yeah. It is, the whole philosophy is that you can, you are in charge of your data. You're not.
So if we take, and maybe this is the way to go at it, it's something I think about, it is a big if, but if we take as a given that there is a trend toward personal data ownership, and that's a big if, I mean, we've all seen, I think, many attempts at this. I've taken a shot at it myself. It is tough. Many people would give away everything for a free slice of pizza. So how do we get across that? But if that's the arc, if personal data ownership is is where we're headed, would it be fair to say that Web of Trust is a means of, while I may lose access to your personal data because now you own it, I don't have to lose access to useful operations on it, and therefore delivering value as a product?
Say that again.
So if in the future you as Meta don't hold all my data, a billion users hold their data.
Hold their data, yeah.
Doing useful things with that data is the next, I think, opportunity to monetize, or becomes the core. I can no longer sell your data, and so I have to find a way to do something useful to do operations on that data.
So maybe companies should be thinking not what is the problem we want to solve, but what is the problem that our future customers want to solve.
Certainly.
And how can that happen using these tools that are being built by freedom technologists?
And what are the, we talked a little earlier about some of the challenges to getting here. What perhaps are the next few building blocks that take us to a minimum viable, web of trust that the average individual, maybe early adopter, is going to find useful?
I mean, we already have webs of trust that people find useful. We already have personal Web of Trust relay that your colleague, UTXO, has built. That is in many, obviously many people credit that.
Now, I'm a hyper nerd and, I've got a virtual private server that I run it on, et cetera, et cetera. So
yes, but
not for the normie.
But you can establish one, do the work to get one running, and then your friends can connect to it.
Yes.
And you can connect to five different personal Web of Trust relays, and now your feed is devoid, is much, much higher quality.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it has all but eliminated spam.
Exactly.
And so I'm, have the ability and I'm sufficiently motivated because who wants spam?
Right. So we already have tools that are...
Great point.
...that are doing, that people are using. And so we just need to make them, we need to make them more sophisticated. So this, for example, point and click. So maybe someone like Relay Tools, CloudFodder's Relay Tools, could make a point and click version of that. CloudFodder is one of three people who have built the Grape Rank calculation engine. He's just built the code just to see how it works. Mm-hmm. Manny Me has done the same. He is one of his goals. He's building a library that other developers could use to implement this. So making it easier.
Packaging.
Packaging definitely is always important. It needs to be easy. It needs to be able to do more things, but not too many things.
Right.
And so I think the extensibility is going to be a big, that doesn't really exist yet, but it can. So making it so that you can decide, that's going to be a big step, where you can decide what data you want to use. And then that can happen without me or doing it. So a tool that allows the extensibility to happen.
So your obvious, perhaps obvious customer at this stage, not an end user, of course, but it is someone building Nostr apps. It's someone.
My users now I've got this alpha product, Brainstorm. My initial users are going to be people like you who already have a personal Web of Trust relay and are sophisticated enough to do that.
So the bleeding edge early adopters.
At first, and then gradually make it easier to use, and gradually start to add features that no one else is offering.
Now, you reserve the right, of course, to change these predictions, but how much time would you say, David, until, well, so in phases, you've got something that the early adopters will use, what are we looking at, 6 months? What do you think?
I think there's a good chance that within a month,
okay, great,
I'll have something that you can play with like I just described.
I look forward to it.
Not all the bells and whistles,
yeah.
but you'll be able to load it, pull it up, click a button, start my relay, turn on my whitelist, turn on the blacklist, mm-hmm, or not. And then that'll, like, just that right there, that right there actually already works in alpha, but it's not.
Yeah.
So I think in a month I could have that running.
And then beyond that, when does it become a software development kit? When does it become something that someone who's, I don't know, you know, a talented TypeScript developer understands the basics of the Nostra protocol can build on?
That's a tough question.
You know, is that a year out, do you think?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. So my goal is to have something that users are using and say, builds, I want to get to the point where it's something that cannot be done else otherwise.
Right.
And then I want users and developers to say, I want to learn more.
Sure.
And then I can have that conversation. How do we work together?
Right.
To do this. So.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. And I mean, and the reason I ask these questions is to sort of level set for the audience. Right now we're in the bleeding edge.
Yeah.
But we've got proof of concept. We've got running code.
Yeah.
And it sounds like though there is a very healthy debate about how one should implement Web of Trust, what are the signals, what are the data points that's progressing, call it 6 months to 12 months away. We've got a stable foundation to build on.
Yeah.
And then what is your crystal ball for when do we go mainstream? When does Web of Trust become something, not even so much Grape Rank per se, but when does it become something that is out in the wild and cannot be ignored?
You know, the future is coming at us faster and faster. If you want time predictions, I just started using AI to help me code maybe 3 weeks ago, and I felt like I went from one of me to five of me. So
watch out.
We're going to be able to, we've been having these kind of high level debates on, at the abstract level of how to solve, what's the problem, what's the solution. And we are now, I think, transitioning into building, or starting. I mean, we've actually already done this to an extent, building
roughly,
the actual tools.
How many people would you say are involved, actively involved in the design phase of this?
I think probably every Nostra developer is
thinking
about it. And I just posted not too long ago that one of the tools that Brainstorm is going to do is, you know, calculating the scores is the hard part. Once you've done that, putting them in whatever format makes you happy is actually the easy part. Mm-hmm. So Vitor has he's the chief architect of Amethyst, mm-hmm, the premier
Android client.
So he has a format for trust scores that I think he would like to use for a variety of purposes for himself. And so I've already built an alpha version that exports the scores in that format. Friends app, Papelia.
Absolutely.
They have
Zapstore.
Zapstore. And they have a Friends app is authored a Web of Trust DVM NIP. So it's another way for a product like Brainstorm to offer personalized trust scores to a client developer.
And can you describe, David? I mean, I think Zapstore I'm very bullish on. And if we zoom all the way out, can you describe Zapstore?
Yeah, you know, I may not be able to do it justice. I know that they are calculating PageRank,
or rather, if we zoom way out, we think about jobs to be done. It is an alternative to the Google Apple App Store,
mm-hmm,
and it is a Web of Trust applied to what are the broken free of a central authority, Apple or Google, who get to determine what I should run, what I can install on my device. Correct me if I'm wrong, this uses my Web of Trust, mm-hmm, to apply a score, mm-hmm, or some other measure of this code is good. You know, mm-hmm, five other people that you trust are running this application.
Mm-hmm.
to do whatever, Maps, Uber, you name it. Mm-hmm. So it, if I understand, it's a decentralized app store, mm-hmm. which gives me both the freedom mm-hmm. to run whatever I want, should I choose, but also the safety and trust mm-hmm. to know that I'm not out there in the wild mm-hmm. installing rogue code.
Right. And obviously a very important problem. Now, maybe you know this. I'm not sure what is the raw data that they're using. It's the trust signal.
I don't.
I do know that they're calculating PageRank, and I'm glad to see that showing up in the Nostra ecosystem.
Right.
And you know, that's a step more sophisticated than just follows mm-hmm. follows. Yeah, I should know this. What they're using?
Yeah. We'll dig in and get that in the show notes. Where does this take us? What is 5 years out look like? Do you have you've been cranking on this for a decade.
Yeah.
What is your dream scenario?
My dream scenario is that I build this to a point where it does the thing so well that it can start growing on its own.
And what does that
I'm
look
building
like?
This so that I can use it.
Right.
What does that look like? It means that people, I think once this gets good enough so that people can start discovering content in exactly the context that they want, I think we're going to start seeing people migrate from the legacy social apps and Nostra usership is going to, right now it's about 20,000 per day ish.
Yeah. 30 I've heard on a good day. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that number is going to start to grow when people realize it can do these things that better than any place else.
I mean, does one of the potential outcomes, I'm clearly not the demographic for TikTok, but you know, it's a massive success, and setting aside all the recent controversy about ownership, it's a black box algorithm. It's a wildly right. successful black box algorithm.
Right.
You know, is it feasible that we get to a point where there's content suggested to us that could be as compelling?
So, you know, I've heard people talk about TikTok as addictive.
Yes.
And this, you know, what we're building, the goal is not to be addictive.
No.
It's a good question. Are people going to leave the addictive stuff for an algorithm that they have control over? I
yes.
mean, you could choose the addictive algorithm
yeah.
if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, yeah, right. Nothing says you can't.
People I wonder if people are going to try to emulate that. I think if people have the tools to build better algorithms, it's going to be hard to predict. I think people, here's what I want, and what I cautiously optimistic we're going to see this, is that people are going to say, I never thought this was possible. Hmm. This just is a different experience.
So it's not replicating or knocking off.
No, it's like asking to predict what Facebook is going to look like before, you know, way before even MySpace or Friendster. It's hard to predict
right.
that, but it was, I mean, astounding what people have, what can be done.
Do you think we're ready for that? I mean, this is always the question, I suppose, with an emerging technology, is it a room full of nerds who want something to exist and that's beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you betting on the fact that this produces, by whatever measure, a better, healthier relationship to media, technology, the things that we are recommended, choose to trust and pursue?
I think it will ultimately be more healthy. And because I believe in free speech, I believe in autonomy, I believe in a system where you're not controlled by people who have the power to abuse that control. I believe that when it comes to money, I believe that when it comes to information, and how exactly that plays out is going to be hard to predict, but I believe in the fundamental principles, and I'm excited to see how that's going to play out.
Perfect place to end it. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Sean.
Pleasure. I look forward to following the success. And before we wrap, and I'll include these in the show notes, there are a number of places someone could go to dig into your work, to dig into the code.
Mm-hmm.
One or two sort of top points to learn more about Web of Trust, mm-hmm. perhaps broadly, and more specifically, the work and the code that you're shipping.
You know, I think probably the best places, and I'm sure this will go in the show notes, is just go follow me on Nostra. I will keep that updated.
Excellent.
And I do have, you know, a GitHub. I've my GitHub account, WDS4, that has my thoughts that as they've been developing over years. If you want to dig into how I think the database should be organized and how I think these two things fit together, go and read about Concept Graph and Grapevine. Just dig into that GitHub account.
Are you looking for contributors? If someone's inclined?
If someone is inclined, then contact me.
Okay.
Through Nostra. That's the best way.
Terrific. All right. Yeah. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you, Sean.